Now, we're in the middle of this figure here. What I've decided to do, because of all of the blank looks and the complexity of the figure yesterday, is to first do the next Mishnah, which is the Mishnah that's actually being contrasted. Because we haven't really met the Shmita Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva, and it's been very theoretical. Why don't we look at the next Mishnah, which is where we'll learn about the Shmita Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shmuel. And then we can go back and see what the Gemara is talking about in comparing our Mishnah with the next Mishnah. I think that would make a lot more sense. Because obviously Gemaras were not meant to be learned when there's no familiarity with the Mishnah. I think we can assume that. So let us therefore begin first with Halacha Hey, and then we'll go back to the Gemara on Halacha Dal. Haita Sadehu is Ru'a B'Tzalim. So the case B'Tzalcha Shulot Shavdilui. Now, let's say a man has an existing field of onion. He wants to put in pumpkin in his onion field. Says Rav Yishmael, what he's got to do is this. He should be Oker two Shulot of onions, which means that he creates a space of 8 amos, because a normal shura is 4 amos. A shura is not a furrow, mind you. A shura is a made of numerous furrows, but it's one area in a field that is planted with one type of thing, right? So we have now, like a garden area, 4 amos wide. He uproots these, and now what he does is, in place of those 8 amos of onions, he puts in one shura of pumpkin. And we can assume that he puts this one shura now in the middle, right, of the previous 8 amos, which gives us 4 amos in the middle and 2 amos on either side. He then moves over and he leaves the next onion patch along the distance of 2 shurot, which means he now has 8 amos of onions planted after the 2 amos of empty space from the diluvium, correct? He now goes ahead, and what do we have now? A total of 10 amos, right? So far, from the edge of the diluvium. 2 amos empty, and 8 amos in Bitsamayim. He then goes and uproots an additional 2 shurot, and he puts in 1 shura of diluvium, again, assumedly in the middle, which would give us a total of 12 amot between one patch of pumpkin and the next patch of pumpkin, with also the distance of 2 amot between the pumpkin and the tzatzal. So we have established over here, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that what we need is a distance of 12 amot between the pumpkins on either edge in order for this not to be viewed as a field of kelaim in which we are simply mixing various meaning. So here, once we put in that distance of 12, so then we have a separate shurot. But if we have less than 12, what we would have here is one pumpkin field that's got a piece of onion in the middle of it, and an onion patch in the middle of a pumpkin field is kelayim. It looks like kelayim, and therefore whether you want to view it in terms of chavisha, which is the delimitation of a field in the Yerushalmi's version, or you want to view it in the common version of its nirat yeruvia, which is the way it's usually looked at, but it certainly needs first to be established as not being a field of pumpkin. It needs to be rows of pumpkin, followed by separate rows of onions, followed by separate rows of pumpkin. So that means, according to Rabbi Yishmael, the only way we could set such a thing up is if we had a total of 12 amos between pumpkin and pumpkin, and we had 2 amos that were empty between pumpkin and onion. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's much simpler than that. All you need to do is Oker Shtei Shurot, and Oker Shtei Shurot. You can uproot 2 rows of pumpkin, of onion, and replace it with pumpkin. Then you leave. Now, between the two, you don't need empty space. All you have to do is run a furrow across it. Okay, you've got one furrow to see, and you're kefas, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the makam of your parsa, tigan hayal, Then you go ahead and your unit. You leave in the next two shirot, which are 8 amas of onion, and then you uproot the next 2 amas of onion, and you put in the teashtei shirot, you put in 2 shirot of pumpkin, which means that we have a total distance between pumpkin and pumpkin of 8 amas plus 2 tefachim, which were mavazalim, right? So, according to Rabbi Akiva, the distance to prevent this from looking like a pumpkin field is only 8 amas. Furthermore, according to Rabbi Akiva, I don't require much distance between the two. Right? I only need a tefach. Whereas according to Rabbi Yishmael, I need 2 amas. And the Chachamim Omrim, in Ein Bein Shura L'Chavrata Shtem Esrei Ama, Lo Yikayim Zera Shel Bein Atayim. The Chachamim go ahead and say what appears to be exactly what Rabbi Yishmael said, which the Gemara is going to ask, isn't this the same thing? What's the difference between them? Nonetheless, the Chachamim say, if you don't have a distance of Shtem Esrei Ama between them, you cannot be Mekayim, the Betzalim, the onion, between the Biluim. Now the Gemara will ask what the difference is between them, and the Gemara will explain that what the Chachamim are saying is the question of whether you need the distance. In other words, they're saying you need the total distance of 12. But I didn't say anything about how much space you need between the onions and the pumpkins. Notice. Because remember that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva are arguing in two things. They're arguing in the distance that it requires between the two sets of pumpkins in order for it not to be a pumpkin field, which will then not allow a patch of onion in the middle. And they're also arguing between pumpkin and onion how much space you need. So the Chachamim can represent a third shita in which they hold the Rabbi Yishmael in terms of maximal distance of 12, but they hold Rabbi Akiva of needing nothing but one furrow between the two meaning. That's exactly how the Gemara is going to explain it.
And then how do they get 12?
Because all they're saying is you can plant right up to the pumpkin, right, but the distance between the pumpkins got to be 12.
So you say 2.
So the two empty amos and the two empty amos translate into another furrow of onions between them. Instead of having 2 furrows of onions, 2 shuras of onions, you can have 3 shuras of onions. So the onions can grow all the way up to the pumpkin, as long as it's separate in between, but you're still going to need 12 between the outermost pumpkins. Now turning back to our Mishnah, let's take a look now in Halacha Dalet again and review what the Mishnah says there so that we can get a better understanding now that we've seen this Mishnah, what the problems are there. Says the Mishnah there, once again, let's review it quickly. So you can have now in the middle of your gina over here, which since we don't have a soda, as long as you have 2 shurot together, each one stands on its own and isn't viewed as interference in anything else. But shura shel kishuim, shura shel biluim, shura shel kol ha-mitzvim, also.
What?
Oh, maybe he just left something else in the house. The door is locked.
There's a door coming.
Okay. Okay. So if you have 1 shura, however, between 2 other shurot, then it's awesome. If you would have a shura shel kishuin, a shura shel biluin, a shura shel kol ha-mitzvim, followed by another shura shel kishuin, now take a look at this. What do we now have? We have 2 shurot of kishuin, and in between them, we have a shurav biluin and a shurav kol ha-mitzri. So now, if we view those 2 shurot of kishuin, one on either side, as being the equivalent of a pumpkin field, so then we have a problem. Same way that we can't have onions in the middle of 8 amos of onion in the middle of a pumpkin field, we can't have 8 amos of kol ha-mitzri and biluin in the middle of a kishuin field, right? Remember that Kishurin, Dilurin, Paramitri are all called Muksha. They're all called Kishu type of thing, which are ground hugging vines, largely that are invasive. So all of these cases now, in order to make the Mishnah more akin to the Mishnah we're talking about, let's pretend that the two outer Mokshuot were pumpkins, just like in the other case, instead of Kishurin. But really doesn't matter. So we have two pumpkins now on either side of a row of bean and a row of squash, right? So now, that would mean that we have a total of 8 amas between the two pumpkins. This, lechara, is precisely the situation that we had in the Mishnah we just read, where we had a total of 8 amas. In the case of that Mishnah, it was basal, was onion. And the important determination to be made over there, the Machoktu, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yishmael, is 8 amas distance between pumpkins on either side sufficient to say that this is not a pumpkin field because they're so far away? Or do you need 12? That was the Machoktu, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yishmael. So Lakora, when we're saying over here this particular case, and our Shaila is Rabbi Yezra Matir V'Kachamim or 3, Lechora, this question of whether I'm allowed to have another type of mean in between these Kishurin and these Zivulin, the way we're setting up the Mishnah, is dependent directly on the Machlokes that we have in the next Mishnah. Okay? Therefore, now let's get to the Gemara, and this is where we were having a hard time yesterday. Therefore, Chizkiah Amar b'Machlokes. Indeed, our Mishnah is simply another example of the Machlokes that we're going to have later on between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. So the question is, if you're going to hold that you need 8 amas and only 8 amas to have a distance between pumpkins on either end, and 8 amas is enough that it shouldn't be a pumpkin field, so then over here 8 amas should be enough that it shouldn't be a pumpkin field too. And if you're going to say that you need 12 amas that it shouldn't be a pumpkin field, then over here you're going to say it needs 12 amas, it's a pumpkin field. And we're playing around over here just with a distance of 8. That's just because we understand that you're gonna figure out yourself that that only really makes sense according to Rabbi Akiva. Because if you're holding the next mission, you need 12 for onions, then you're going to need 12 over here for the other type of squashes. And if you say Rabbi Akiva, who holds over there 8 amas is sufficient, would agree that over here also 8 amas is sufficient. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, this is different. Because in this case, Divrei HaKoli, everybody agrees that 8 amas is enough to turn it into a non-pumpkin field. Why? Because Yatakorak Mukshe, Beina Mukshiot, Lasil Bishmona. There you're talking about Bitsalim Beina Mukshiot. So you're saying, well, Bitsalim Beina Mukshiot, the Mukshiot are very powerful. This looks like a pumpkin patch, says Rabbi Akiva. A couple of cheap little onions growing in the middle of a pumpkin patch don't bother no pumpkins. You need 12 amas in between them. But when it comes to having, in the middle of a pumpkin patch, Jack's magic bean box, pumpkins are not going to look powerful enough to overcome those magic bean stalks. And so Benela, he's ready to agree, Rabbi Akiva, that when it comes to a muksha between other mukshiot, 8 would be sufficient because of the impact of the field in between. They wouldn't, onions, you could say, just seem to be an intrusion into the pumpkins because they're so small and short. But Jack's magic beans don't seem to be an intrusion. They stand on their own.
Another muksha next to the muksha is less invasive than...
Second is less invasive. It's more obviously a separate row.
They look so much more similar than onions than the...
That's fine, but they don't look like an invasion into another type of field. We don't care if we have separate rows, as long as they're not fields. You know, the dinim of the Arachoka in the middle of a field is different than the dinim of the Arachoka of rows that are running side by side in different things. Rows running side by side don't look like the lion. In field, which if this were determined to be a field because of the distance that is close enough between the outermost rows, then the inside rows are a problem because then they're invading a field. But if each one stands separately, so the fact that it's very visible is separate, they can stand separately. Therefore, I need less space between the outermost ones to distinguish this from being a field. Right? This is what Rabbi Yochanan says. I'm ready to hear. Now, says the Gemara, you've talked about how long there is the distance, there's the width of the distance between them. But you haven't told me how long the shear would be to give this to the hashivut of a separate field. So Omer Rebbe Zia, so Orko Bekama Chodesh. But what I'd like to know is, how long do these rows have to be in order to have a din of being capable of being Chodesh, the area between them? Again, Yerushalmi is using its own language, in which Chodesh means delimiting, crushing, compressing a field, and once it's compressed, it now becomes Kelayim, because anything within that field is now the same. So the Omer Rabbi Zira says, Rabbi Zira, look, we could learn out the din of the template for distance in a field out of the Kerem. Because the din by a Kerem is, what is Hemagabi Kerem? Lo Shanya, he orko, he hex lay go. If we are not given any information about what a template for a vineyard is, the Torah says you can't plant other species in a vineyard. It doesn't say you can't plant species next to a vine. A vineyard is by definition agriculturally defined as 5 vines in 2 rows. Okay? What is the distance between those vines? We know the minimum distance between a vine, because you can't have less than 4 amas between one vine and the next, because if you do, any decent farmer is going to uproot the one in between in order to allow room for the vines to expand. Yeah, it's not just it's a work area, it's a growth area. It includes the growth and the work. So the mela, it's going to be uproot. That is not considered to be a viable vineyard. So you would need that. So what's given to us so far? But a vineyard consists of 5 vines in 2 rows with a minimal distance of 4 amas between the vines. When we ask ourselves, this particular shape that we have a pattern here, within what area does this pattern have to occur? And that wasn't given. And that's what you're asking over here. We have a pattern. How long does this extend that gives us a shear of what its total template is? Well, we'll do the same thing we do with a carom. By a carom, we say, what's the minimum shear that you need for this carom? 8 amos, because you're going to have one row of 3 vines, and that row of 3 vines has, by definition, 2 spaces of 4 amos apiece. Well, if that's the case, then that shear, that minimum shear of the vineyard as a whole, also defines the maximal distance between one vine and the next.
Why don't we have the avoda on the other side?
Because the avoda isn't what's given to us here. The avoda is a din in the harchaka, but the picture. We're only looking at the picture. The picture is an 8 amos picture. So that 8 amos picture becomes our template for defining what a vineyard is. Okay, but the same thing is true over here. If you're telling me that we need to have a minimum, obviously it depends what you hold, but if the distance between the 2 pumpkin patches is 8, in order for this to be less than 8, in order for this to be a pumpkin patch, then that also, that maximal distance of 8 defines also the length of the pumpkin patch, 8. If it's 12, then it's 12. So our powerful Oshani here, so we have to go. Now, I'll dive into this history. The way Kinski understands it, we know exactly what he holds, because he's saying it's 8, so it's 8, right? If it's 12, then it's 12. Okay, so if you're holding like Rabbi Akiva over there, you're holding like Rabbi Akiva over here. That's not a problem. But our problem begins with Rabbi Yochanan, because we can't figure out what Rabbi Yochanan would hold. If I ask you, so according to Rabbi Yochanan, Orcho v'tamakovich, tell me, what length is definitive of the patch? What are you going to tell me? In Tamar b'shumon, and remember, Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, well, this is a unique case, because it's different, Muksha ben Amukshayot is different than Bitzalim ben Amukshayot, correct? Okay, so now let's try to apply. Let me ask you, what is the shape of the patch that we're talking about over here? If you're going to tell me that the din is, since over here we're all motivated, it's 8, so then I'll say to you, well, that's very interesting. There's Ishimar Bishmona. So now, Kal v'chomer, l'mukshah, b'ena, b'tzalim. I mean, you're going to tell me now that the din over here is, well, since if you just noted that it's eight, right? You need eight amos between, he's saying between the two pumpkins on either edge. So if that's the case, then the shura needs to be eight, correct? But if that's the case, then kol shekin, a muksha between bitsalim, we're over there, we're more matmer, aren't we? Because we say, but onions aren't nicker. So then we should say in the case of the muksha ben bitsalim, that even though they're over there, the distance is 12, well, we certainly can't be more make on them than we're going to be, than we're going to be on machmer on the mukshiot ben mukshiot. Mukshiot, we're saying that because they're so nicker, Jack's magic beans are so nicker, nonetheless, we're saying, but the distance and length is the same as the distance and width. So it's once you've got eight amas, that would be of length, that would be enough, assuming that they were closer to each other than eight amas, to destroy mukshiot. No. So suppose those mukshiot were bitsolim. So alakas kama vakama, it would be enough to destroy the bitsolim, correct? But then it's an inconsistent shear. And then you'd say, the template is not eight. Because over there, even though the distance between them is defined by at 12, right? But in this case, the length is 8. That's strange. On the other hand, if you tell me, well, when it comes to Muksha Ben Amitalim, it's in a Nifleshel of Ishtemis, right? You're going to need 12. Okay, fine. So if you're going to need 12 because the distance between them was 12 when it came to onions, Alakas Kama Vakama, you're going to need 12 in order to answer Jack's magic beanstalk. Right? Because they're much more nicker and they make it more difficult for you to have a pumpkin patch. So again, you're going to have an inconsistent shear no matter what you do. Which does Rabbi Yochanan hold? I don't know. Now he's the one who got himself into trouble. You see our problem? So that what turns out to be the cool, we thought we were talking about, well, it's a kula, it's enough if it's eight. But that kula led us to a chumrah. Because since we're defining the template on the distance between them, now a length of eight is sufficient to answer. If it's closer than eight distance in between them. Ah, but then if that's the case, certainly we're going to be machmer by onions. We're the claw or more machmer. But that would mean that by the onions where we need a greater distance of 12, it's sufficient to have the lesser distance of eight in length in order to turn it into a pumpkin field. So there's some inconsistency the way Rabbi Yochanan is learning, one way or another. I don't know which way he learned. Because we derived that whole idea from the vineyard, and we said just like from the vineyard we define the length by the distance in between, we're going to do the same thing over here. Let's see, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're applying it inconsistently. Whatever we're saying, it's not a big problem. We're just saying we don't know. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan certainly opens the Pandora's box over here. According to this kid, very simple. Whatever the machlokas is over there applies over here, and then I don't have a problem. With Rabbi Yochanan, I've got a problem. That's all we're talking about. Now, Akidon, so here's what we got up to. So Akidon Birot Seif. And we were talking about a case where we have ritzy foot. Retzeth in modern Hebrew. So where we have beretzeth, right? We have rows that are completely planted and they're thick. They're not individual plants. But what about ba'osek kelachim yichidim when it comes, however, when you don't have a retzeth? You put in a pumpkin and then you want to put in a Jack's magic beanstalk and then you want to put in a squash. Now you don't have rows. What is the din over there? By Kalakim Yechidim, what would be the distance between them? Because certainly it's not a field, but on the other hand, it doesn't well define itself as a shura. So what is considered to be a chovesh over there?
Individual
plant. Well, Kamodite Magabi Karen, Lo Shanya, Uro Tevo, Se Kalakim Yechidim. I mean, I thought, well, Shanyo Tevo Se Kalakim Yechidim, I don't understand. I mean, take your example of the vineyard. Now, a vineyard, by definition, is always going to have a separate klochim, right? The din over there is that if you may give it a din of klochim yechidim, which means that you put in your eight amos plus between each geffen, which we said was the maximum shear, so now I have klochim yechidim. The din, nonetheless, is that it's chovesh, a particular plant in between. The Kabbalah says, "Agav Kerem Lo Shani Hulot Seifu Osek Lachim Yechidim." Hafaka Lo Shani Hulot Seifu Osek Lachim Yechidim. It should be the same over here. That if you have different minim on either side, they're going to be chovesh the middle min. It's the same idea that we saw before. We read Rabbi Shimon early in the Masechta, where he had a bit of chavisha with different minim when he put three different things: chita, seora, and shibolat shuol. Let's say they would fall all together. Two can be chovesh the middle. Hafakaloshani, Rabbi Yanai Amar. Rabbi Yanai says b'machlokas. Now he's going back on the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if you have one row of Kishuin, one row of Palamitri, one row of Dilui, and so on, that is awesome. He finds, Rabbi Yanai, that that itself is the same machlokas that we had later on in the Mishnah between Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim, where you had the two rows of the pumpkins on either side. So he says, here too we have a machlokas, that the halacha over there would be, just like Rebbe Eliezer, who says that two minim, if you have two minim, so you have the three rows, and then you add an additional row on the outside of Kishuim, was the case of the Mishnah, Diluim was the case that we gave. So it's okay, because any two minim, according to Rebbe Eliezer, will be matia. So it's like you have a double shura next to a double shura. A double shura next to a double shura does not look like a field. And Rebbe Eliezer claims that that's all right later on. He would have said the same thing about the Reisha, Rebbe Eliezer. He would have been willing to say. In other words, he expects that the reader who reads what he holds about the case of adding the Kishurim would understand that, of course, he would have said the same thing about the Reisha. Because if you start off with three rows, we can look at either of the two rows as defining itself, and then the other row as being a separate thing. So you can look at it either way you want. So the middle, you can be mitzarek the middle row with either of the outside rows. So he would therefore hold that shnei minim are mitzarekim, and it would be mutter. For shnei minim mitzarekim lahatziyom. When he says that you have two separate meanings in the sefer that are mitzarek to be matzio the field, and it's okay. Even though they think, well, wait a second, we only have one row of each type, but we need two rows in order to define it as a non-intrusive thing, then it doesn't matter. What we look at is the total planted area. This looks like a very well done planted area, two rows wide, and even though they're two separate meanings. So if they're mixed, and they say, it no longer looks like a field based on what's either side of it, the age may mean in mitzarfim liyaser. He's not going to say that we're going to take two minim together, meaning let's take the outermost minim, that are two separate minim, and say they will offer the middle minim. That he's not going to say. Because the point of the two minim on the outside, which is why in the sefer he adds the same min on either end. He says you have kishurim on the right side and kishurim on the left side, and then you've got the lumen and polymetry in the middle. You see? That's because only there, where we're dealing with the same min on either side, it looks like a field of that min. But he's certainly not going to say that having pumpkins on one end and squash on the other end turns this into one field. Well, why would it turn it into one field? So therefore, I say that if we extend Rebbe Eliezer's shita into the race, don't try to tell me that the extension of his shita would mean, aha, look at this, you've got two minim on either side, which makes it a field, and now you've got an intrusive shura in the middle. That's nonsense. Because two minim do not a field make. It has to be the same min in order to be mitzarek. That's what I say. Rav Amar, Rav says no. That first part about the three being usher, Rebbe Eliezer agrees to, that's divrei akolhi. Because Rebbe Eliezer, in fact, holds, he changed his name to mitzarekim lahatzil, in the same way in the end of the Mishnah, he's saying it doesn't matter if you've got Kishurim and Diluim, and then Polamitri and Kishurim. They're all mitzarekim. Look at it as being two and two. But he would also hold if you only have three, then we're going to be mitzarek the two on either end to be chovesh the middle. And then with Asher, shnei minim would be mitzarek lehatzer. Now, mind you, from the casual reading of the Mishnah, the Matnita, it should say over here, according to the Grof Pliga, Rabbi Yanai. The Mishnah certainly seems to be on a casual reading to run against Rabbi Yanai. Because the Mishnah says about the Sefer, Rav Eliezer Matir. Now, that certainly does not seem to be saying that he would hold that on the ratio, which is a much bigger Kiddush, is where he should say it. And on the other hand, the Masnisa is a pliga al Rav. The Mishnah also, let's see, what's that? What's the correct use over here? One second. Pliga al Rav Yanai. Okay. Shurasho Kishu'im, Shurasho Bilu'im, Shurasho Palamitri, Shurasho Kishu'im. Now, according to Rav, excuse me, but I got news for you. Before you put in the fourth row, you already had a field of Kalayan. You certainly can't undo a field of Kalayan by putting in the fourth row. At least going away with that, I was learning. Well, the Yes was arguing in the first case. So you have three minyan. Well, the two outside minyan, but I have to be chavish the middle minyan. So anyway, it's okay. So now we had a fourth row, and we're talking now about our Kiddush, about the distance between the two outermost rows, whether it's considered to be a pumpkin patch or a kishun patch. No, the same thing that was on the other side. So, but according to Rav, how could Rav Eliezer possibly be matir in the second case if he happens in the first case? In order to get to the second case, you already had to have planted the first case. So it doesn't even make sense. So Avshalona Tatari Vihit Lofan Esru, before he got to the fourth row, he already had answered his field by turning it into the lion field. Can undo the lion field? That's not a problem. If you put this in the Darabat Tanikakad, I mean, it works on all four simultaneously. It doesn't have to be that there was an existing field and he comes in and he adds it. Then we said, Note Adam Kishut, you can put into the same guma two types of Kishut, as long as you make sure that you take the vines and stretch them in opposite directions, and then you're making a very clear discrimination between one species and the other. Tony, brightness, mutaradan asosito sadeo gumak hanam bukat tefa, uzzaroa bitocho arba zerunim, ulahapkana arbaru koteha. This price is more vacant than the Mishnah. It says you could put, if you've got place to put all four sides, you can have these vines running in four different directions, and therefore nobody would think that it's mixed. Reb Abba Bar Kahana, Shimon Bar Shaya, Shimon Shimon Laki, say, you got to make sure that they are notin lukurva shana. Remember that there can't be anything around this guma. It has to be an unplanted kurva. Remember, in Kalayim means unplanted areas. It doesn't mean a kurva. You got to make sure that the area around it is unplanted, because otherwise you're going to have to keep them away from the plants around it. So how could you possibly have them going all the way out in that direction? And if they're going straight up, then that's not enough. So it's got to be talking about an akurva. It'd be mona boy. Ibn akurva. Wait a second, says Rabbi Mona. You know, if you mean it's literally a akurva. When I thought we were talking about maybe having the same min on either side. But if you're saying that so that you have like an extension of that min going in the same area, it wouldn't be a problem. If you're saying it's talking about a kurva, why are we so limiting ourselves to having only four instead of eight? Because if it's a kurva, you could plant one in the middle of each side, and you could plant one in each corner. And then you would have one going in each direction, meaning southeast, northwest, and then northeast, south, and west too. So that gives you now, would allow you to plant shmona. Shnai mikan, it's on the side, and then shnai mikan in the corner. So, I don't know, this kurva doesn't sound right to me. Okay, so he could be learning that in the case of a kurva, you could plant eight. Maybe the case we're looking at over here is where we have four different rows that are coming in together to a guma at the end, and now in that guma we can plant out each species going towards its own side. Okay, now we did the next Mishnah. Let's just finish now the Gemara that wonders about the sheet of the Chachamim, and find also a different sheet in understanding Rabbi Yishmael, who said that you take out your Oker, if you recall, the first two and the last two, leaving the middle two, which is eight Amos. And according to him, you replace the two shurot on either side with only one shura apiece of pumpkin. Which means that when we understood the Mishnah, that means that he is saying you plant pumpkins in the middle of the 8 amos area, which means you have 4 amos of pumpkin placed right smack bang in the middle of an 8 amos churva, which you uprooted your betzalim from, and you're left with 2 amos blank on either side, which gives you a distance of 12 amos between pumpkin and pumpkin. However, there was another explanation to the Mishnah, which was given by Reb Kahana. Kahana Amar, given Rabbi Yishmael, what Rabbi Yishmael is saying is not the way you think. There's necessarily 12 amos between pumpkin and pumpkin. Actually, sometimes it's 16, and sometimes it's 12, and sometimes it's 8. What do I mean? If you intend to put all of the growth of the pumpkin in the area that you've left empty, and you're going to turn it to the side of the onion, then you've got to have 16. You'll notice Rabbi Yishmael never said where to put the pumpkins. He just said you can only put 4 amas of pumpkin in 8 amas where the betzalim were. Well, that may mean that he's got the 4 amas all the way towards the outside. The middle area is used for pumpkin leaves and vines, right? So all those tendrils, they'll be sitting in the middle of that area. Then come your 8 amas, then another 4 amas for the tendrils on the other side, and then your pumpkin, which gives us 16 amas. We've got 8 amas of planted onion in the middle, 4 amas blanks on either side for the vine in between, which gives us a total of 16 amos. And so if he's going to do that, he's going to need chases for it. If he's going to have miktata b'pnim or miktata b'chutz, so then indeed he'll need shteinas for it. Let's say that he has over here, he has one side, he has the leaves going into the empty space. And on the other side, he has them going in the other direction, into the space of the pumpkin itself. So then on the side that he's got it going into the empty space, he's going to have to leave now 4 amas. On the other side, he doesn't have to leave anything. So he can have now 8 amas of betzalim, 4 amas empty for the side that he's got the leaves that the vine's running into. No space at all on the other side, where he has the leaves going in the other direction, or into themselves, which gives you 12. 8 and 4 is 12. Now, if it were to have both sides, making certain that the pumpkins don't extend into the middle, then he would actually have 8. So there are times in which he could agree with Rabbi Akiva. And that would mean, Shmuel says, no, that is not the meaning of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael didn't leave it open to the various cases. What he said was, you're always limited to putting those pumpkins in 4 amas with an 8, which means that he's telling you to have to go in the middle. That's how I read it. And that means 2 amas blank on either side, which gives us 2 amas, 8 amas of onion, 2 amas empty, and back to get the pumpkin. 8 plus 2 plus 2. That's how to read it. It's 12. And the Targum came, and by the way, in the Braisa, it's clear that I'm right, Shmuel. The Braisa gives a ketzef of the Brei Shneihem. It gives you a clear-cut numerical value to both shitot. And here's what it says. Rabbi Yishmael Omer Shemetrei, Rabbi Akiva Omer Shmonen. That's about as clear as you can get. It doesn't say, according to Rabbi Akiva, it runs between 8 and 16. It says Rabbi Yishmael says 12. Now this last business, did I miss something? Rabbi Yishmael said 12, and Rabbanu said 12, right? Now, according to the way Kahana was learning it, this made very good sense, because he was saying, you'll notice Rabbi Yishmael never said 12. That's because according to Rabbi Yishmael, it all depends on the case. Could run anywhere between 8 and 16. So there's 3 shitas. Rabbi Yishmael's shita between 8 and 16. Rabbi Akiva holds it's 8. And the last shita, the Chachamim, let's say 12. But now Shmuel has claimed, and he has a brass for backing him up, that according to Rabbi Yishmael, it's also 12. So now I got a little problem, because last time I read it, 12 equals 12. In which case, Rabbi Yishmael is saying Shemitah, and Rabbanu is saying Shemitah, Ma'abinema. What's exactly the difference, according to Shmuel, between the first sheet of the Mishnah and the last sheet of the Mishnah? Simple. Smicha. How close can a pumpkin get to an onion? That's the difference. Because the nafkamina between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva was not merely in the distance between the pumpkin and the other pumpkin, but also between the pumpkin and the onions in the middle. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, what's the word?
How far it can reach.
Yeah, I mean, how close it can reach. Oh, okay, fine. Yeah, that's right. So according to Rabbi Akiva, all you need is your tefach or your furrow, and then maybe a masher, depending on the shita. In the two mishnahs ago, Rabbi Yehuda shita was parsa, which was tefach. Then we had the mlo, which is a masher, but whatever. The question is, you can have it, you have them basically right up against each other. Whereas the way Shmuel's learning Rabbi Yishmael, you need a two amma blank space, totally aside from the issue of how far the pumpkins have to be apart from each other. You also need two ammas empty between any pumpkin and any onion. And that makes a big nafkamina. I'll die to Rabbi Yishmael of Surah Lismol. Rabbi Yishmael gives me two dinim. The Rabbanan Batrai, this last sheet that we have over here, only says one thing. You have to make sure there's 12 amas between pumpkin and pumpkin. So it says, as far as where you can put your onion, so you put in three shulot of onions of 4 amas apiece, which gives you 12 onions in 12 amas of onion between the two pumpkins, which is sufficient distance to separate the pumpkin. And I don't need any distance between the actual onion and the pumpkin mitzito. So now everything works out beautifully, and I think this was a much better approach than trying to read that mission without the next mission.